Our reading is taken from Malachi chapter number 3, starting at verse number 6. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads, For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand. They need to hear this directly from you, specifically from you. Nobody but you. Amen. And look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, God will open the windows. Neighbor, God will open the windows. Amen. You may be seated. We have entitled our message this morning, God will open the windows. Amen. You know, growing up in Jersey, I ain't know nothing about no central air. Some of y'all who are here grew up ain't know nothing about no central air. You just open the window and just pray that the breeze would come through. Amen. But the interesting thing about keeping a window shut, as long as a window is shut, nothing can get and nothing can come because it is shut. So what we're seeing here in Malachi, what we're seeing here in Malachi chapter number 3, is that the prophet is being utilized by God to help the folk to get back on the right track. Somewhere along the line, the train was derailed. Now, you know, I'm speaking metaphorically. Just I don't want nobody to get lost. The train had gotten derailed. The people had lost touch and focus on what they were called to do. They felt that if I'm worshiping and I'm looking to roll, if I'm talking the talk, if I'm dressing the right way, then I have the appearance that I am truly one of God's chosen people. In the presence of others, we look like we had it all together. In the presence of others, they did not see how we had been derailed. And since we were derailed, those whom we came in contact with and we were leading, we also derailed them. You see, because if I'm derailed and you're still on the track, that means you might pass me, and that can't happen. So I have to derail you so you will be right where I am. So what has occurred is that some folk were wondering, if we are God's chosen people, if we are the ones being blessed by God. Why isn't it appearing that we seem to be blessed? Maybe God has changed his mind. We say that, but some of us wonder sometimes, even with us and some of the stuff, trials and tribulations that we face, that we go through. We say, Lord, I've been doing what you're calling me to do. I'm moving forward and this isn't happening and this is going wrong. It seems that, Lord, did you change your... Because I've been doing what you called me to do. But what God here is letting them know and letting us know. He says in verse number 6, for I, the Lord, did not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. You see, my brothers and sisters, some of the struggles we face and deal with today is that whatever we're going through and what is happening, we wonder, Lord, have you changed your mind? Have you changed your thoughts? Why does it appear that I don't seem to be blessed right now? Why does it appear like all hell is breaking loose? Why does it appear that the walls are caving in? Why does it appear that the floor is starting to rattle and get crickety and I'm starting to get holes? Lord, why does it seem like everything I'm touching is going wrong rather than going right? Lord, have you changed? 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 But what the Lord here is letting them know, I ain't changed. And because I didn't change, you ain't perish. Because if I had changed, you wouldn't be here complaining right now that I did change. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. You see, because if I had changed, you wouldn't be here right now. You know, it's funny because some of the guys I go play with, you know, they're seniors. And I say, what's going on? I said, good to see you. I'm glad to be seen and not viewed. Somebody going to catch that. You know, and the reason why we ain't being viewed and we're being seen is because God has not. Somebody going to work with me. You see, when you understand who God here is reminding them then and reminding us now, he has not changed. But we have. When we first came, we came humble. When we first came, we had no issues getting on our knees and even walking on our knees. But now that the Lord has blessed us, now that he has allowed us to have more than two pair of dress pants. Now that we have a wardrobe. Now that we're driving nice cars. Now that we're living in big houses. And now that we have a master bedroom with a master suite. Now that we have garages and a refrigerator. And then got a freezer out in the garage. It is not God who has changed it. You want me to get on my knees? Not in these pants. You want me to get happy and start dancing? I just paid $100 for this hair. So as God has elevated them, they have forgotten where their blessings had come from and started focusing more on the blessing than the one who is the giver of the blessings. You see, I want you to know it ain't God who's changed. It's us who's changed. We want folk to see us and see less of God. But God said when you first came, all you wanted them to see is me. But now you want them to see you. I ain't changed. You did. So, what he says to them, I'll just read all of verse 7. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. You see, when folk get derailed, what do? Derail others. Because I can't let you pass me. You see, I got to pass on the tradition. I mean, I got to pass on the derailment. Yeah, I said tradition. I wanted you to catch that. Rather than passing on what thus saith the Lord. He says, since I haven't changed, you haven't perished. Since y'all have gone astray, and have not kept my stuff. He says, I want to show you something about our God. You see, our God can get frustrated with us and just say, the heck with you. Our God could very easily just throw in the towel and say, I'll just go get somebody else. But it just shows you something about the God whom you and I serve. He loves us. You know why? Because we are created in his image. He loves us because he is the one who started with us, and he wants us to come in and get with him and stay with him, because we realize the only reason why I am still here is because God is the one that's blessing me. And since you know it is God that is blessing you, I want you to know, don't get derailed. Get yourself back on the track. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, you can get back on the track. You see, I want you to understand something. I don't care how many other cars you got to pass because they want to stay derailed. Don't you dare fall off that track again, because you know it is God who has put you back on the track. So I'm going to just keep rolling right along. I'm praying for you, but I ain't going to stop. Look at what he says. He says, after he said that, he says this in verse 7. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? If you've been derailed long enough, what ends up happening is that you're looking at the tracks and wondering why they're there. And since you're looking at the tracks and wondering why they're there, when God says, in essence, get back on track, you're looking at the track and you're trying to figure out how. Because you've been off the tracks for so long. Grass has grown around it. You've been off the tracks so long, you can barely see the tracks there that you're supposed to be connected to. So what he hear, what they are saying is, how shall we return? And then the Lord says, I'm glad you asked. Now let me help you. Because he says to them in verse number 8, will anyone rob God? Yet you're robbing me. But you say, how are you? How are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings. All that you are blessed with. Where did it come from? All that you have, where did it come from? But all I'm asking you to do is remember where it came from. Remember how you come in. Think about it like this. Think about it in this way. It's like God has this big grocery store. And you can go in, and it has everything in it. Not just food, everything. And all the stuff you get and all that is there for you, you take it. And all God is saying, on your way out, stop over there on the other side by the cashier. And just give her a tenth of all that I've given you. And you look at all that you have and say, shoo, I ain't going over there. So you sneak out the side door. You're robbing God. Because God ain't asking you to pay for all of it. He is saying, just give me a tenth of it. You're robbing me. When you take all that I give you, and you don't stop over and give me a full tithe. When you come to make your offering, you're supposed to bring an animal without spot or wrinkle. So rather than bring me the best you have, you just give me one of the sick ones. And then you wonder why you ain't being blessed. When you're supposed to bring me the full tithe, you're bringing me just a little bit, or you're throwing a little bit at me. And then you want so much from me, but you forget that you gave so little to me. You have turned from me, but you want me to turn to you. But when you return to me, then I'll return to you. You see, I haven't changed who I am. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to be there for you. But the reality of the situation is that you have drifted from me because you keep going out the side door. And since you've been going out the side door, you know what you've done? When other folks say, well, ain't we supposed to go over there? No, 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 we go out this way. Why? Oh, this is our tradition. This is our tradition. We go out this way. Don't worry about over there. We're going out this way. And the whole time, you've been stealing from God. You think God ain't know. We think we have become such great slicksters that we can get over on God, and God ain't the wiser about what we're doing. I can lie to you. You can lie to me. But we ain't getting over on God. I can get over on you. You can get over on me. But ain't nobody getting over on God. Because the one who blesses us is the same one who woke us up this morning. And what God is doing is every day he wakes us up, he is giving us an opportunity to stop robbing him and start praising him, start living right for him and doing the right thing for him. But as long as we are robbing God, we are not doing what God is instructing us to do. And then we wonder why all hell is breaking loose. We are the ones who have moved ourselves away from his covering. God hasn't changed where the cover is. God hasn't changed what he's going to do. But it is us who have come from under his covering because we refuse to give him a portion of all that we got out of his house. And he gave it all to us freely and expects us to freely give back to him. And he said, because y'all have done this, look what he says in verse number 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation, of you. Do you see it? He is upset with them because those who are supposed to lead from the front have derailed. And God's just derailing everybody else and saying, it don't take all that. This is all you need to do. And then you wonder why ain't nobody coming to the church. Then you wonder why the numbers are shrinking. Then you wonder why there's no money. Then you wonder why it seems like every time you turn around, your numbers is going the wrong way rather than the right way. You wonder why there's so much illness in the church. You wonder why there's so much anger in the church. You wonder why there's so much frustration in the church. It's because of the fact that when we spend time robbing God, we move ourselves from under his covering. And when we move from under his covering, then anything can happen to us. And when it happens to us, we want to blame God for it happening because God must have changed his mind. No, God hasn't changed his mind. We are the ones who have left from being under the covering of God. We stepped away. You see, my brothers and my sisters, God is going to tell you like it is. For the sole purpose, so you and I can be better. Look at your neighbor, say neighbor. God ain't trying to make me bitter. He's making me better. He is telling them in verses 6, 7, and 8, and 9 that, yes, this is the problem, but I'm not trying to make you bitter. I'm telling you the reality. But if you do something about it, you will leave better and not still be bitter. What good is it to come to church mad and leave madder? What good is it to come to church all tight-faced and leave with your face soaked? I can't believe they was dancing up in church. And you saw the pastor, he was up there just shaking it. But somebody said, he was up there just a twerking. You see, folk are taken and they will. Because if I've already want to be bitter, everything I see, I'm going to make it. We have to understand there ought to be something about coming into God's house. That when I leave up out of God's house, there's something that happens to me in God's house that allows me to leave with a smile on my face. That's going to get me through the week. Because all the hellacious stuff I got to deal with, I got to come someplace and get refueled, recharged, anointed, appointed, filled with His Spirit. So when I leave here, I know what I got to deal with out there. But that's all right. I got what I needed in here that's going to get me through whatever I deal with out there. So what we're seeing is that He told them, you're cursed. You're cursed for robbing me. The whole nation. There might be some in that nation that were doing right. But the remnant is the reason that God is showing grace and mercy. Don't you realize that whenever there's just a few who are faithful, you end up blessing even the unfaithful in your church? Do you realize that God has always given the church another chance because of the faithful folk who are in the church? You see, it's the faithful that keeps the church together. It's the faithful that allows the presence of God to be in the place. And those who have been derailed are thinking about others who are derailed rather than looking at the faithful. You see, because all the other derailed folk are constantly telling them, Sister Davis, it don't take all that. All the other derailed folk say, you ain't got to go to Bible study. All the other derailed folk say, you don't need to be in Sunday school. All the other derailed folk are saying, you just go to church whenever you feel like it. But what I'm here to tell you, I thank God for the faithful, because the faithful are there when the doors open. The faithful are there because they know what God has done. The faithful are there praying for all who have been derailed, because we understand if it had not been for God's grace and mercy, I would have been derailed too. Do I got any witnesses in God's house who are thankful that you are not derailed? What God is looking for are the faithful. And why He is still here is because of the faithful. But the faithful are suffering with the folk who have been derailed. So what the Lord is doing is creating an opportunity. And what He says in verse number 10, He says it's time for y'all to get back on track. It's time for y'all to get back on track and roll down the track. Don't worry about it seems like there's grass covering the track. You just get on the track, and I'll take care of everything else. And what does He tell them that they need to do to get back on track? He says, bring. What does He say bring? The full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Y'all, I don't have reading problems. I've gotten King James so etched in my head that when I read this, I got to read it real slow. And thus, put me to the what? Test. Says the Lord of what? Hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a what kind of blessing? Now let me show you now. Let me show you. Come on, preachers. Come on over here and help me out. I need you to come on around this side though. Come on. You come on down that way, but just come on around. I want you to see something. I'm first going to grab the banana. See, you can get me the potatoes next. We're going to go with it. You see, when you go up into God's place where He blesses us with, if God gives you 10 bananas, God says He needs a tithe. A tithe is equivalent of 10, of 1. Because if you got 10, 10% of 10 is 1, right? So God has the bananas here, right? Then I go in and God blesses me with these 10 potatoes, right? If He blesses me, give me the strawberries next. If He blesses me with these 10 potatoes, right? All God is saying to me Give me one. And what I'm going to do is, I'm looking for the best one I got that I'm going to give. And I'm going to give him that. Right? So I still got this, right? Then I got the strawberries. I got 10 strawberries. And as I bring God these 10, he blessed me with these 10 strawberries. All God said is give me. So I put the one over there. Give me those tomatoes next. And then once we got the strawberries, what he does is all the ones on the top. It should be all on top. They're not. What do you have in your hand right there? There you go. Right? We got 10 beautiful red tomatoes. Amen. Right? And so, if I got these 10 beautiful tomatoes that God has blessed me with, all God is saying, give me a tithe. And you know what my tithe is? One. So, I got one that's real nice that I got to give to God. And then now I have these right here. And then he's given me 10 apples. So as I look at these 10 delicious apples that I'm allergic to because I can't eat them like this, but I've been blessed with them. I got 10 of them, right? So I'm going to look at all of them. And I got one that's just gorgeous. So I put it over there. Then I keep these others. Then he gave me 10 mandarin oranges. And now that I have these 10 mandarin oranges, right? What I'm doing now is I got 10 oranges. And what God is saying, give me one. So I look at all my mandarins and I see a good one. I give it to God. But then I also realize something else. God gave me 10 quarters. 10 quarters, which is $2.50. So all I got to do is give God one quarter. And I put it over here. Now, when I look at what I've been robbing God of, if all I had to do was give him 10%, right? 10%. So since we did simple math, 10. So if I got 10 and he asked for a 10th, that means I only had to give him one. And then what the Lord says is, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there might be food in my house. Now, I'm mixing it now because I'm quoting it. Put me to the test. Right? If we do as God instructs us, he says, will I not open the windows of heaven and pour out overflowing blessings, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see, I gave him one of the potatoes, right? What did he do? He gave me more. I gave him my tithe offering. He gave me more strawberries. I gave him my oranges. He gave me more. Are you working with me? And guess what? I gave him my tithe with the quarter. But he blessed me with some more dollars. You see, God is saying, if you test me, this is the only scripture you will read where God says, test me. And when he tests me, and I do as he instructs me, if I don't rob God, you gonna let that hold you back from being blessed? What is that one extra orange gonna do for you? If you give God your tithe. Look at what God gives you. He lets you keep that. And then he adds to it. Do you see it? If we just give the tithe, God will open the windows. And when he opens the windows, he's going to pour out an overflowing blessing. Which means that I started to just bring stuff and let it fall off the table, but that would not have been too good. But are you getting the point that I'm making to you? Will a person rob God? All you got to do is give a tenth. Quarter. Apple. Mater. Tomato. For those who are going to hear it or who are going to listen to it on me. A strawberry. A potato or potato. And a banana. But what? Look what God has left me with. Look at what God has added to it. Do I got anybody that wants the windows of heaven open? Do I got anybody who is thanking God for opening the window? Do I got anybody who realizes that when I trust God, when I give as God wants me to give as I'm instructed, how God is going to bless me? This is what God leaves me with. And all I had to do was to give him this. And I got more than what I gave. Anybody ready to receive an overflow blessing? Anybody ready to receive and see how far God can take you? You don't know how far you can go as long as you're stuck in tradition and being robbing God. We ain't paying no dues. We are giving our tithes and offerings. Because when I give my tithes and my offerings, I can expect God to give me back more than what I gave out. Because he says, put me to the test. And when I put God to the test, God is saying, that you know what? The only way that can happen is that you have to see it. You see it. Now, this is the problem some folk have in church. The problem they have in church, I ain't giving to that church. I don't know what they're doing with that money. If you look at what he says, bring the full tithe to the storehouse. Now, when you get into the presence of God, and he's going to ask you why you didn't do it, what you going to tell him? Because of the fact that he ain't saying nothing about what they're going to do with it. But I can tell you, he's going to do a great thing with it. But all God is saying is for you to be faithful. Faithful and obedient in doing as God has instructed you. And if we are faithful and obedient in doing as God has instructed us, God going to take care of this table. Because whatever comes on this table, God's going to make sure it stay right. God's going to make sure it will be right. And I don't care who try to mess with it, God is going to take care of it. So don't you get caught up and say, I'll give when I think I know what they're doing. Now you just put yourself in a situation where you are robbing God. And guess what? It's on all of us individually to make the decision to look at your table. Look at what's on your table. And what have you put on the table of God? Did you put what you needed to put over there? If you haven't, don't get mad when stuff on your table starts to disappear. Don't get mad when stuff on your table ain't there no more. Are you following what I'm saying? Bro Rock, I want us to be in a position to where we can say, God will open the windows And I'm thanking him already for opening the windows. Because I know what I got on my table, and I'm putting what I need to on his table. So, Lord, I'm thanking you right now for opening the windows. Do I got anybody in God's house right now who wants to just rise to their feet and say, Lord, I thank you for opening the windows. I might not have done it before, but I'm going to do it from now on. Lord, I want you to open the window, because I'm going to be obedient to your will. Because when I look at all you bless me with, and how much more you're going to bless me with when I give you what you require. God will open the windows.